It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Take it back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. To imagine giving back $620 million worth of stock options and retirement pay, you'd have to imagine getting them in the first place. Well, former UnitedHealthcare CEO William McGuire is one of a handful of people who can. In one of the largest executive pay givebacks in history, McGuire's agreed to forfeit all that cash to settle up after the stock options backdating scandal that's cost him his job. He'll still keep options worth about $800 million. Employment numbers will be out in the next hour, and among those paying close attention will be those in the auto loan industry. A Lehman Brothers survey says there's been an increase in delinquencies on car loans. Jeremy Hobson reports.
Colorado truck driver Lonzel Watts is in trouble. He's 5 months behind on his mortgage, and his interest rate is about to tick up again. And now he's having trouble making car payments.
I'm behind one right now, and I got to pay it. And then utilities, my water got cut off because I had to take that money and pay my mortgage.
Harvard University law professor Elizabeth Warren says middle-class Americans like Watts simply aren't making enough to cover their rising cost of debt.
For years, lenders, the mortgage lenders, the credit card issuers, the payday loan outfits, and the car lenders have treated the middle class family as if it were the turkey at the Thanksgiving dinner. We're down to the bones now.
Scott Hoyt at Moody'sEconomy.com doesn't think things are quite so dire, but he says if there's a recession,
we'll see substantial declines in spending and in credit quality, really on all types of consumer loans.
I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Like father, like son, 34-year-old James Murdoch got a new job title today, News Corporation's chairman and chief executive for Europe and Asia. Meanwhile, Murdoch Sr. is already wielding power at the coveted prize he bought this year with a raft of management changes. Word is one of his veterans, Les Hinton, will take over as CEO of Dow Jones, and Murdoch's Times of London editor Robert Thompson will be publisher of The Wall Street Journal. The News Corp-Wall Street Journal deal is expected to officially close next week. Colleges and universities are having a harder time keeping their donors happy. Marketplace's Amy Scott has this case study.
Back in 1961, Charles and Marie Robertson gave Princeton University a pile of money to train students for government service. Now the late couple's children claim Princeton misspent the money. They're suing for control of a nearly $900 million endowment. Frederick Franson heads the nonprofit Center for Excellence in Higher Education. He says together both sides have spent more than $40 million duking it out.
Those are $40 million that could have been much better spent on providing education, either the way that Princeton sees it or the way that the Robertson family sees it.
Franson's group hosts a conference today on the growing problem of donor discontent. He says schools should strictly define the terms of gifts, and donors would do well to make short-term bequests in case a school's circumstances change. In another case, descendants of a Tulane University benefactor say the school broke the terms of a gift she made more than a century ago. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
South Korea is scrambling to deal with a massive oil spill off its west coast after a tanker collision. 66,000 barrels of crude. How to clean up after a spill has long been a challenge. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin says researchers at MIT have had a breakthrough.
MIT postdoctoral associate Anish Teteja was told that it couldn't be done. it was actually thought previously that you might never actually be able to get surfaces that would repel oil.
But Tateja and his team figured out what everyone else was missing. Instead of focusing on a material's surface or texture to repel oil, they considered its geometry. They designed microfibers with a curved underside to them. The material looks similar to tissue paper, but it stops the oil from soaking through. Tateja says the material could one day be used to clean up crude oil spills by separating oil from water.
You create a surface that would allow oil to pass through it, but water is repelled by it. You can imagine like using this material just sieving through so that you collect all the oil, but water never passes through it.
Other commercial applications for the new material include nonstick cooking pans or a coating that keeps computer screens smudge-free. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report on this Friday, December 7th on marketplace.org. A takeover of Italy's troubled airline Alitalia took another step this morning. The second of two bids came in. Italian carrier Air One joins Air France KLM. But as Megan Williams reports from Rome, whoever wins, it's likely to be a turbulent ride.
Alitalia isn't exactly renowned for being a smooth operation. It's got a bloated workforce of 20,000, a long history of bad management, and two costly hubs in Rome and Milan, all adding up to €1 million a day in losses. But Italy's also a top flight destination, and that's what's making the airline appealing to Air France KLM, which already owns 2%. If it wins the bid for a controlling stake, it says it would cut jobs, get rid of money-losing routes, and ditch Milan as a hub. Economic commentator Michele Pisani says northern Italy is already protesting that possibility. This is a deal tailor-made for Air France, he says, because it would direct more flights to Paris instead of Milan. Air France KLM says it's counting on Alitalia staff to help with the changes if it wins the bid. But given how strike-prone that staff is, Air France could be in for more than it bargained for. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
25 years ago this week, Michael Jackson's Thriller hit store shelves. To date, it's sold more than 104 million copies worldwide, making it the best-selling album of all time. As Stacey Vanek-Smith reports, it's also left a major mark on the music business.
Thriller exploded onto the music scene in 1982 and made Michael Jackson a superstar.
Thriller showed the power of MTV.
Music industry blogger Bob Lefset says the high quality of the Thriller album's videos were a first in the music industry.
Michael Jackson made these huge productions, whether it be Billie Jean, where he danced, or more importantly, Thriller, which was almost 20 minutes long. It showed that TV could sell records.
Record numbers of records. Lefset says Thriller set a new standard for album sales. Music labels began expecting a hit record to sell 10 million copies. Thriller lives on. It still sells about 60,000 copies a year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
On Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed up 175 to 13,619. The S&P closed up 22 and the NASDAQ closed up 43 to 2709. Now, is making money in the markets luck or skill? Engineer Stan Mazer thinks it's a bit of both. The co-inventor of the very first silicon chip set his mind to playing the markets. Then he wrote a book about it. It's called Stock Market Gambling, Turning on a Dime.
Well, when I retired a few years ago, my friend said that I should get a hobby, and I decided to take up gambling as a hobby. I didn't know much about poker or horse races, or not too interested in casinos, so I thought I'd try gambling in the stock market.
And it's interesting because you mention in the book, don't try this at home unless you're prepared to lose.
Well, I think one of the problems in gambling is to be underfunded. Putting it another way, if you sat down to play poker with just one chip, you're probably not going to be in that game very long. So one of the things from a scientific viewpoint, it seemed to me, is that you'd better be well-funded and prepare for several losses. Each gamble that I'm trying is to make $500 on the bet, and the capital required for that bet is $15,000. And then again, if you're going to go into play, I think you need about 10 chips, and so that represents $150,000.
And know that some people will freak out when they hear you say that you make these decisions based sometimes on the tossing of a coin.
Well, if you think about the stock market in general terms, someone says, gee, I think XYZ stock is going to go up. So he goes and buys the stock from someone who's selling the stock. They're both intelligent people. They both have access to the same information, and they've come to the opposite conclusion. Well, when we talk about stocks, sometimes they compare with a dartboard method, which means throwing darts to pick a stock. And actually, the people who do that theoretically do pretty well.
We look at the markets as they open every day, and there's some sort of analysis by some writer somewhere who says it's going to go up because of X and it's going to go down because of Y. But you seem to sort of say there is no science really here in terms of why it moves.
Well, I think as humans, we're always looking for reasons, and we often see reasons where there aren't any real reasons.
Right.
But when you actually stand back and do some analysis, it turns out they're not very well correlated. In an engineering term, if I was speaking to an engineer, most engineers are looking at some signal that has noise in it, and they say, how can we filter out the noise to look at the signal? And from an engineering sense, I take exactly the opposite viewpoint. Say, ignore the signal. Let's just look on the noise, the little vibrations, and as if there's no real meaning behind it.
Silicon chip pioneer Stan Mazur has written a book called Stock Market Gambling in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.